welcome to the Mr. Vincent Podcast, episode 133, a special Sunday edition. This actually might be the first time I ever recorded or rather released the episode on a Sunday, but I had to because of what transpired last night at Survivor Series War Game. The return, the shocking return of CM Punk to WWE, which definitely sent shockwaves throughout the whole wrestling community. It's up to about 20 million views, that video on WWE's X account. And I had talked to somebody, so I reached out to the homie earlier and we recorded. Shared our thoughts on CM Punk coming back to WWE after the years of hostility between he and the promotion after he departed back in 2014. So we touched on that along with what this means for AEW in the short term and potentially long term. Overall, it was a pretty good episode. Wrestling fans, you won't want to miss this. And you can actually check it out right now. Here it is. Survivor Series War Game. CM Punk actually arrived in WWE and Chicago locked their minds in that arena. I was shocked. Listen, I didn't think that was going to happen. I kind of felt like it could happen, but I was like, nah, this is no way, because the way that there was, like, you see some rumors about it, but then you see other reports that were saying, no, it's not happening, right, denying that that can't possibly happen, but then you hear the Cult of Personality music hit, and I'm like, wow, this is crazy. Your thoughts when you watched that transpire?
So I didn't see it live, because I was watching it, then I, like, kind of just fell asleep before, like, during the War Games match. So it wasn't until I woke up and it was like the press conference with Triple H talking about Punk coming back. So I was like, oh shit. Then I went on YouTube, saw the clip, and there was already like 500,000 views. But it was just very surprising because, you know, WWE kept it under wraps really well about the negotiations. You know, there was reports that like, it wasn't going to happen like 100%, like the heads of WWE, like Nick Khan and Triple H, like weren't going to go for it. No, there were reports like from months that Punk wanted in, but WWE wasn't interested. So the fact that they were able to keep it under wraps to like literally the very end of the show, it was pretty incredible.
Yeah, especially in this day and age with technology, everything is, it just gets like leaked early. So that's like, I talk about, so I miss the old days of wrestling where, you know, everything, a return like this were a surprise. And that's what it felt like. It gave me that feeling of the old school days where, wow, this really happened in real time. No one ever thought that could happen.
Which is like so hard to achieve these days. Mm-hmm. Like, usually there'd be a report like, oh, like someone saw Punk at the airport. Like, you know, they hit it up until the very moment. I think that's sort of a testament to Triple H and the kind of regime that he's currently running in WWE, where, yeah, they are going to do literally what's best for business, and that's bringing Punk in at a time where, like, the product is, like, at an all-time high.
Say that again.
Yeah, he's just gonna like, it's almost like there are like way too many hot baby faces right now in WWE, like all getting hot at the same moment. It's like Cody, LA Knight, Jey Uso, like Sammy, like,
you know. I tweeted yesterday that this is the deepest, most star-studded roster WWE's had since the Attitude Era. Not even close. And it might be, you could say they have more stars, but I think they could only say that because since the Attitude Era, they acquired WCW. So the roster is way bigger than it was back in the Attitude Era. But the biggest stars in the Attitude Era, I feel, are bigger than the biggest stars. Like the top four or five guys in WWE and the Attitude Era are bigger than the top four or five guys right now.
I would agree with that. Just because of the caliber of like who was on top during the Attitude Era. Like
Stone Cold, The Rock, Undertaker.
Yeah, Mick Foley.
Triple H.
Yeah. I would say, like, right now the top baby faces, like WWE, they're just better workers in the ring right now than they were in the Attitude Era.
Of course.
So, like, I would also consider the New Age Outlaws to be top baby faces of the Attitude Era, but mm-hmm. you know, both Road Dogg and Billy Gunn were like decent workers. But I think now it's just there's better wrestling, and yeah, the product is just on fire right now.
Listen, like you can if you're WWE, I think that you would feel comfortable having several top guys as your champion. Right. You would feel comfortable putting a belt on Cody Rhodes, Sami Zayn, LA Knight, like you said. Even Jey Uso now, I think that like he's shown that he can be he's a legit star in this company as a singles competitor. This is insane. Like now I see why their prices are so high for tickets. Because I mean, when they're sitting on the floor, I'm like, that's a lot of money. But hey, listen, they like you said, they're on fire right now. They just can't miss. And I didn't see him pumped us already started the roster. It's insane. I'm looking at it right now at the account on X, the video of CM Punk returning, 20 million views in 13 hours.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane.
20 million views in 13 hours.
Thing, it's like, for a lot of casual fans who weren't watching AEW or like who like have like a tangential awareness of it, it's like CM Punk came back to wrestling for the first time last night. Like, I think a lot of like casuals were not following AEW or aware that he was on it. So I think that's like why the engagement has been so high. On like the idea that over the past 10 years, like with the lawsuit that Punk filed against WWE and them firing him on his wedding day, and
Say that for me, because I want to talk to you about that. But I want to mention something too real fast.
Yeah.
We talked about earlier about Punk, WWE being able to keep us under wraps. I think a big part of that is the fact that it was in Chicago, where CM Punk is from, where nobody was able to, like, there was no chance for anybody to spot him in the airport, because I saw a clip on social media with him leaving the arena, like him driving out of the arena, and fans were just following his whip. So I think that played a big part on them being able to keep it under wraps. And I think I saw, too, the reports that he, like, signed with WWE, like hours before he actually came out. Maybe even earlier than that. Not earlier than that, like, later than that. Like, pretty much leading up to him making his appearance, and they cleared the exit way. Like, a lot of wrestlers didn't even know he was going to arrive. So I think that's how they were able to keep it under wraps.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. He probably just drove himself to...
Yeah.
No, they did an amazing job. Also, like, with the entire night, there was just CM Punk chants.
CM Punk chants on SmackDown, too.
You know, the whole weekend, it was just CM Punk chants. So, like, if he wasn't there, I think that would have been a major letdown. But it's also... It's like... There have been so many L's that Tony Khan has taken over the past year or so with AEW, and this has to be just the biggest one.
Absolutely. And I wanted to talk to you about the impact it will have on AEW. But first, you got to do me a favor, because I didn't watch WWE when CM Punk was there. Let's not talk about the wrestling. So I know I've always heard that, you know, he's kind of been hard to deal with. I've seen the reports during the time of AEW. And I feel like that's what the same thing I was hearing about him in WWE. Is that true? Can you tell me, give me a little history on CM Punk in WWE and like what led to him like being fired? Because I really want to know.
So one of the biggest things for Punk was that he wanted to main event a WrestleMania at some point during his career. And he never got to do that. He had a great match with The Undertaker at one WrestleMania, but that wasn't the last match to go on the show. So in 2014, like during like the road to WrestleMania, like he felt like he was gonna be slotted into like that world title match that year, but the idea for him to face Triple H at that Mania, which Punk refused to do. So he was in the Royal Rumble that year, and like Kane chokeslammed him on the outside of like onto the announce table, and that was the last time that Punk was ever seen like on WWE TV, because he ended up literally like shoot walking out on his contract.
He said he got fired on his wedding day.
Yep. So he got the papers of his firing on his wedding day. They were like mailed to him, and he's done interviews saying that was intentional. Although WWE has never confirmed that, but he sued WWE because he had MRSA. It's like this like infection. And the WWE doctor was just like giving him Z-Packs to like deal with it, but it ended up getting infected. So like he sued WWE because of that. And
I'm guessing that they probably just settled out of court.
They settled out of court. And so there's been legal issues between Punk and WWE. On top of that, just in the locker room, he has like a very polarizing presence. Like there are some of Punk's colleagues who absolutely like adore him, you know, and then there are some people who literally will not work with him. And he's had this kind of reputation, like even back into the indies.
Wow.
And Vince McMahon has gone on record saying that he would never work with Punk again. And this is Vince McMahon has like, you know, he's worked with so many people in the past that he's had issues with. You know, he's managed to make business with them.
Yeah.
So I do think the biggest avenue to Punk returning is the fact that Vince is basically a non-factor in WWE / Endeavor / TKO. Like,
yep, I just saw a report this morning that it was actually Nick Khan's decision to bring him back. Triple H had input, and Vince had no input whatsoever in CM Punk returning.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. I mean, I think like Vince being in the picture for this whole time was probably a chief reason why Punk was never brought in, or like not brought in sooner.
Ooh. Yeah, man, that's crazy. I mean, because I saw the video of Seth Rollins like looking like heated, flipping the bird at CM Punk. He that he came back, and there was also a video of Drew McIntyre leaving early, leaving right after the match was over, essentially before Punk made his return. And there was conflicting reports I'm seeing that a lot of people are like really pissed off. Like Drew was visibly upset, left the arena early. Seth had to be held back by Triple H backstage. But then they're saying that this is actually a work. It's just a work. It's probably going to be part of the storyline. I don't know what to believe, but man, if that's really a work, Seth was very, very, what's the word looking for? Believable.
Yeah, convinced.
He looked that CM Punk returned.
You know, it's really, I watched the clip a couple of times, and even now it's like, I think it's hard for me to like figure out whether or not it was a shoot or a work, but I'm leaning towards it being a shoot. Like he was really mad because, you know, the WWE cameras were not on Seth at the time. You know, usually everything, even like, you know, they film everything if they're going to use this TV. And then on top of that, like he was saying, like, you know, he was swearing, he was flipping the bird, like not really PG. That's not something that WWE would ever like tell one of their wrestlers to do on camera.
Exactly. AEW, they would do that all every day.
Yeah.
And WWE doesn't take that approach and play it safe.
So, and then also the fact that, you know, like, Michael Cole had to hold him back, and, like, I don't think
Corey
that
Graves.
Graves, like, I don't think WWE would put those guys in that position, like, for an angle. And, like, I also, I mean, that being said, I also think they are going to try to capitalize on this and start to build for Punk and Seth.
Oh, absolutely. I already got it figured out already. I'm calling it right now. Mania. Night one, I got Seth, CM Punk, world title. Night two, I'm still going with a rematch of last year, Cody, Roman.
Yeah, I think that's the way it has to be, you know?
Yes.
Like, I think, like Punk competing for that World Heavyweight Championship, it does elevate the prestige of that championship. And probably the most interesting, yeah, like, by far the most interesting, like, feud that Seth will have as champion. So I think that's sort of a no-brainer, like, to do that. And it also does seem like there are, like, certain wrestlers in the locker room that are concerned about Punk coming in because of maybe this, like, worry of losing their spot.
Someone definitely losing their spot now.
Yeah.
We can say that right now. I say that with confidence. Someone's losing their spot. I don't know who it is.
Yeah.
Only somebody.
And they know that, you know? So I think there are a lot of people that are upset about Punk coming in because he's already being slotted as a top guy. Of course he is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, someone's losing their spot. And it's also, I think, I do think that, like, if the Seth and Drew's reaction is legitimate, then there's sort of a level of professionalism that they're not adhering to. Because, like, even if they were truly pissed off, I think to show that, especially with Seth, like, to show that in such a public... And then what was he going to do? Like, was he going to rush the ramp and, like, fuck up? Like, maybe he was just... I think he was just kind of, like... I see, that's the thing. It's, like, I don't know if it was, like, real or not, but if it was, then I think there's... It's very unprofessional to react that way.
For WWE standards, I would agree. Because now we got everybody on the internet talking like, wow, like, that don't look like, that looks real. Doesn't look fake. And like you said, they never cut to Steph, I mean, to Seth, rather, with the camera. They were just showing CM Punk the whole time, so you didn't get to see the rest of the reactions. So that's what I'm leaning towards. That wasn't a work, but they're probably going to incorporate this into the inevitable storyline between Seth and CM Punk. Do you know the reasoning why he doesn't like him? Because I heard that Roman had issues with CM Punk too.
So there's rumors that it goes to, like, both of their wives not liking each other. You know, like, CM Punk is married to AJ Lee. Seth is married to Becky, of course. And there's issues between AJ and Becky.
Wow.
And then on top of that, like, CM Punk has publicly said that he's taking credit for the creation of the Shield, and putting those guys together. And I think, like, Seth and Roman also kind of resent that, like, CM Punk, like, he's one of the reasons why they have a career in the first place.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just, and then there's just a bunch of stuff that's sort of built on top of each other. Seth did a interview, I think, like, in 2021. He was asked about Punk, and he said that Punk was a cancer, and that he's not welcome to the WWE locker room.
I saw that clip on social media last night. And there's actually people, like, you know, I saw people reacting negative to CM Punk's return from the stance that he's being a hypocrite all those years, bashing WWE when they never got a chance, even bashing them on a segment with him and MJF. on an episode of Dynamite, I believe. And then him suing WWE, and now he's going back to aligning himself with them. Just seems like counterproductive and everything. But hey, man, like you said, time kind of doesn't really heal all wounds, but in the case where there's potential millions to be made, yeah, it can.
I mean, totally. And also, like, I think for Punk, it's like he's had the experience of being in a that's like disorganized, where the owner is not assertive. He lets the wrestlers like dictate everything. He doesn't like have any order, so the wrestlers are always like fighting each other. You know, he's kind of been in that chaos at AEW, so I think him at this stage of his career to be somewhere like WWE that is very corporate, that there's so much like regulation and order in WWE, that I think like a lot of the crap that he was putting up with in AEW is just not going to be there.
Oh, you know? Absolutely. And this is just like, I think this is low risk, high reward situation for WWE. They didn't need CM Punk like AEW does.
Right.
They are fine with that. Like you said, the company's already as hot as it's ever been. And he's just going to add more fuel to the fire, per se, to have them be more hot. But they don't need him. So I feel like this is just like low risk, high reward. And I would be shocked if he doesn't get somewhat of a Roman treatment in terms of like, probably, I don't think he'd be a full-time. I can see him being part-time, only showing up for like on certain episodes of whatever brand he's going to be a part of and working like big pay-per-views. I can see that for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be better than him like wrestling on a random Raw or SmackDown. Like, I think they should try to keep special as much as
and kind of keep away from the WWE locker room as much as they can to avoid any potential conflicts that may arise.
Right.
With him being there. So.
Right.
I want to switch gears, but talk about what this means for AEW moving forward. But I want to take a quick break. All right, so now CM Punk is in WWE. What does this mean for AEW? Because my initial thought is, damn, that sucks. That's a big hit for them. But at the same time, I think that they will be fine in the short term, at least. What do you think?
I mean, I think it looks really bad for AEW that, like, their top star, he was the only guy or the only wrestler that was actually affecting the ratings like in a positive way. And now he's gone to the biggest competitor. And they haven't found a true way to replace Punk. Like they've been trying with Edge, AKA Adam Copeland. And, you know, if you look at the ratings, like, he hasn't really been making much of a difference either. So, I mean, it's not to say that Punk was ever going to go back to AEW, but it looks bad that Punk, who was like sort of portrayed as like a malcontent in AEW, has been able to work things out in WWE, and it makes Tony Khan just look like he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think you talked on this in the last segment. There's no real like order in AEW. It's like, kind of like the inmates run the asylum, so to speak, right? There's no structure there. Wrestlers do whatever they want. You got all these encounters going on backstage. But I remember the first one, I think, was him and the Young Bucks at first. The first incident where he got released, and then they brought him back. And then recently, most recent incident was him and Jungle Boy Jack Perry. So like that just shows like there's really not a level of competence in AEW. I'm not going to kill them because it is early. They mean they've only been around for 4 years. I feel like they've probably had the best 4 year start to any wrestling company in history.
I would agree with that.
It's fair to say that, right? So yeah, I mean, they're gonna be mistakes along the way. Hopefully, they can learn from this. I really think that now they really have to do whatever they can to sign Mercedes Moné, aka Sasha Banks. They got to do whatever they can because I know that she's not really signed to anywhere right now. She's looking to return in 2024, coming back from injury. I think they really got to do something to get her to sign with them, with their roster, and help them out. I think that she can help with the ratings.
I think she would help him.
I don't know about to the extent of CM Punk, but it'll be a move in the right direction.
I feel like the way that AEW handles women's wrestling, like, I don't see a woman coming in and being put in a position where she can boost the ratings. Like, and I think with Mercedes Moné, I do think initially, like, if she were to debut, like, on a Dynamite or on a pay-per-view, like, that get a lot of attention. Like, it would be huge. But if you look at AEW track record, it's like
with the women's division.
The women's division, it's like they'll bring somebody in, they'll be like this initial fanfare, and then like they'll be forgotten. You know, and it happened with Saraya too. Like they aren't really, they don't really put their like machine behind the women wrestlers. And then the time where they do, like with Jade Cargill, like you and I talked about, it was like they had her sort of stuck in like a mid-card situation. Her mm-hmm. And like now look at how special she's being treated in WWE. And
just with a few encounters with some of the big stars backstage making an appearance on NXT, she does feel like she's bigger than she's ever been in AEW, just off those few moments.
Exactly. Yeah. It's, like, special. So, like, whenever she does eventually arrive or compete in WWE, like, that's going to be very special. And I think, like, so, okay, to the point of how does this hurt AEW, I think it lends itself to, like, the broader problem is that the AEW locker room is seeing that if they go to WWE, they're going to be treated well. Or, like, they're going to maintain what made them who they are. Like, for example, with Cody, like, coming back to WWE, like, I would argue, like, his career is, like, at a higher level than it's ever been.
Absolutely.
You know, than it ever was.
I think it's like he's the hottest star in the company right now.
I would say so. And WWE from the very beginning, it's like they've allowed Cody to be himself. Like he still has the same gear, he still has the same music. It's like basically the same gimmick. Like from AEW, like he was able to totally be himself, and you know, headlining a Mania, he's still like in a hot spot. So I think like, and then also like. Like, even little things, like with Brian Pillman Jr., who's now in NXT, he goes by the name Lexus King.
Yeah.
So, WWE's presenting him, like, really well. They're giving him, like, a defined character. They're already putting him in there with, like, you know, big names on NXT, like Trick and Mello. So,
yeah, I haven't seen, I still haven't really watched NXT like that at all, which I shouldn't be doing, but I was watching Brian Pillman Jr. in AEW. I'm thinking something like, yo, he got a lot of star potential, but they're not using him right at all because he's a great performer. So I can imagine that WWE is actually doing right by him and building him up to be the star that he's destined to be.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, like, you know, like the wrestlers in AEW are seeing how WWE is treating talent. I think that is going to be a big problem. But okay, so have you heard that like MJF has secretly re-signed to AEW?
I was just going to bring it up. Like, well, at least if that's true, then that's really, really good for them. But they better hope that is true, because if he was to leave next year, because he's supposed to be a free agent in 2024. So if he left, that that would really, really hurt. Because I am sure, I am 100% sure, if MJF was in WWE, he would be a megastar.
Yeah.
No questions about it. I have no doubt in my mind he'd be a megastar. He's a star in AEW, but he would be a megastar in WWE. So, for their sake, it better be true that he's secretly signed with them until 2027.
I mean, yeah, because he's their only guy who is, like, measurably moving the metrics in terms of ratings.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
He's been a pretty solid world champion. He has all the tools to be a champion. And I think, like, out of all the AEW's top guys, he'd be the one, like, wrestler that they can't afford to lose.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree 100%. You being a fan of wrestling like I am, what do you think that AEW needs to work on to, like, really become a threat to AEW? I'm not saying WWE, because I think right now it's not a threat. I'll look at it as an alternative, a legit alternative to WWE, by far the secondary promotion in the world already, in 4 years in, which is remarkable. But for them to really gain ground on WWE, what do you think needs to change with AEW, or what do they need to do?
I think they need to cut back on some of the more deathmatch.
Really?
Because when those matches happen in such, like, regularity, they start to lose their meaning.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
John Moxley's bleeding on a random rampage. Like, it's like AEW is, sometimes it seems like they don't know, like, who they want to their main audience to be. I think, like, there's a huge segment of, like, the families that are not going to want to go to an AEW show if, you know, there's blood or just kind of like that kind of excessive violence, you know.
Uh-huh.
Another thing I think they need to do is just take advantage of the, like, wrestling minds and experience people that are already there. Like, from what I understand, Tony Khan just writes all the shows by himself, and, like, he has the last say on everything. But, you know, you have all these great minds like Mark Henry, Jake the Snake Roberts, you know, that are signed to AEW that could be working with the younger talent, getting them more seasoned, getting them ready for television. And then another thing AEW needs to do, I think, is just kind of trim the roster. Like, there's too many wrestlers signed to AEW that are actually not being featured on TV, or if they are featured, it's like a match and there's not really, like, a storyline for them. It's like they have a huge roster, but they don't really have the TV time to present it. And make the shows feel different. Like, right now, there's not much of a difference between Dynamite and Rampage.
I think they should get rid of Rampage. Have two shows. I looked at that at a point right now where they need three shows. Me personally.
Yeah, because they have the talent, but they don't have sort of the angles to support three shows. It's a lot of wrestling with no heat, like no stories behind the matches.
And that's my thing with AEW too. I think they had to do a better job of telling more compelling stories, because let's be honest, as great as the record matches are in AEW, and they are great, I think that A+, at least with the men's division, I'll say that, great matches, quality matches, but at the same time, the average fan does not care about the matches. They're more intrigued by the story that is behind it.
Exactly.
Sad, but it's the truth. And I think they got to really do a better job of bringing in better writers, maybe some Hollywood or something like that. They got to do a better job of telling stories. And then in the character development, too, is what I think is hurting as well.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, like, for example, like a guy like Daniel Garcia, who's like, he's now getting over because of his like hip gyration dance.
Yeah.
But that's not a character.
Mm.
Like, guy who does a dance is not a character. You know, it doesn't really get you invested as a fan to want to see him fail or succeed. So, I mean, I think the biggest thing, like you said, I think they just need better writers.
Yeah, because a lot of time watching it, like, I get kind of confused with what the hell's going on. For example, MJF is a world champion. Why the hell do you have to have the ROH tag titles on him? He shouldn't be associated with that title if he's a world champion. What the hell is going on? So I'm like, I don't really understand what's going on. I really watch AEW more so just for the matches because I think they're spectacular, the matches that they put on. But most like the storylines, like it's just not really compelling at all, for the most part at least. But they have the talent though to compete with WWE. I would say more so I enjoy the men's division just from the match standpoint from AEW more than the WWE, but women's divisions, I think the WWE roster from a match standpoint is light years ahead of the women's division in AEW.
Right. Right.
They're not even close. Not in the same stratosphere. The AEW and men's roster and WWE is close. I just prefer the AEW roster just from an in-ring perspective. I'll go to AEW. But yeah, man, I want to see AEW survive. I don't want to see them out of business because I think that it's best when we have healthy competition, like when we had Nitro Raw going head to head, you had wrestlers like jumping ship from one ship to the other. We need that. I think it brings the best out of the promotions. It's really when there's real competition. So I want to see AEW survive, and this right here, seeing CM Punk go there, this is a big blow. I mean, we had Jade Cargill recently go to WWE. Cody Rhodes went back to WWE. So it's like, damn, man, they gotta do something. I think they gotta be able to take. I think too, they're gonna have to sign somebody big from WWE. Sasha Banks would be good, but she's been gone for such a while. I want to see them like get somebody from WWE who was like hot at the time, or like who went hot relatively recently from WWE, be in AEW. But I don't really know anybody's like contract situation. I think this. Well, I don't know. I don't think Drew McIntyre will move the needle, but they're talking about his contract not being renewed. Is that something they can potentially target down the line? I don't know.
I mean, yeah, like that's possible, but like you said, like he's not gonna move the needle. He's not gonna shift ratings. Or if he does, like it'll be like an initial spike. I just think like WWE, they do a good job of locking up their stars for multi-year deals.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And if they're done, like with Edge, it was like very much like WWE being like, okay, we have gotten as much as value that we're going to get from Edge at this certain stage of his career. You know, they let him have like the last match, the going away match with Sheamus, like in his hometown. You know, they just decided like that was to the extent of his value. So like AEW bringing him in was sort of like what WWE kind of had no use for. And now it's like, you know, like Adam Copeland, he's doing well, I guess, but he hasn't had any like really good matches yet. He's like in six-man tags on a pay-per-view. They've sort of bungled what they had for him, like with him. And I don't see anyone who's in a prominent position now in WWE wanting to go to AEW.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and again, like I don't know everybody's contract situations, and like you said, if somebody's contract is about to be coming up for renewal, and the WWE really values them, they will take care of that ASAP and lock them in. I just want to see AEW succeed because I like this feeling right now. I think it's the best time it's been. I think it's the best time since the Attitude Era of the state of professional wrestling.
Yeah, and I think like also one of the great things about AEW is that there's a lot of indie talent that's being showcased on national TV, you know, on a show with like a good production value. Like like, AEW fills such a great spot in wrestling. I think it can if they just make these adjustments. They have the talent for it. But yeah, like WWE signing Punk is just a huge loss.
Yeah, man. I want to see what they're gonna do with the next with the move of beat to respond, because I think Tony Khan's a little bit too competitive to just lie down and take his L that he suffered in the moment. So it's gonna be interesting to see what AEW does in the months to come. Yeah, right now it's not looking good for them.
Oh,
bad look for AEW, but they'll be all right, I think, in the long run. Well, yeah, I mean, so that's it. We can wrap it up here. I just wanted to talk about this. What transpired last night? Somebody, because wow, that sent shockwaves to the wrestling world.
Yeah, man, I'm gonna watch that clip again because I watched it like maybe 12 times.
Me too. I watched a bad time. No, crazy. Like, I really didn't know how big of a star Punk was until I saw his return, his debut to AEW. I'm like, oh wow. And then to see this last night, this felt even bigger than his initial debut in AEW.
It did. Yeah.
What went down last night? So I'm like, oh wow, yeah, he's the man. Like, oh, that like that. WWE is on fire right now because they got all the big dogs with them.
They do, yeah.
All right. Well, I'm enjoy your rest of your Sunday. Enjoy the game. Say your prayer for the Pats. You might need it. Who knows? With the way the season's going down. We'll talk soon. Sure.
Later.
All right, man. Take care.
All right.
All right, and that's it for this episode. Quick one. Salute to the homie Burley for hopping on a Sunday, because I think this is as I mentioned earlier, this is the first time I believe that I've ever released an episode on a Sunday, but it had to go down after what transpired last night, and I had to tap in with somebody who is just as big as a wrestling fan as me, because I'm still in shock about CM Punk being back with WWE. It's just surreal. Be sure to hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. This pod is available damn near everywhere you listen to your favorite podcast at. That includes Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And please do me a favor if you can and follow the IG page as well for this podcast at the Mr. Vincent Pod. Again, that is at the Mr. Vincent Pod. That'd be greatly appreciated. Well, that's it for this episode. Please enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Whatever you're doing, please do it responsibly. And hopefully you guys have already thrown away your Thanksgiving leftovers as of yesterday. If you haven't, and if you're eating anything past today, Thanksgiving, I suggest you seek help. Well, I'll see you guys soon. Oh, you'll hear from me soon, rather. Till next time, take care. We'll be right back.